Here we are in Wisconsin, on the outskirts of Madison, and we're at Wisconsin Brewing Company with
Carl Nolan and
Kirby. Let's drink at the epicenter of Wisconsin, Nelson.
You're the owner, right?
Well, we both are. We're two men from Verona.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah. How did it start?
Well, Carl and my connection goes back to about 2004 when he became president of Capital Brewery. And during that time, Carl really did a great job at Capital, was turning us into a force to be reckoned with. Things changed and Carl left the company, and I really wasn't overwhelmed by how things were going. And Carl had gotten hold of me and said, you know, I've got an idea for a brewery. You in? I said, oh, yeah. We really believe in what we're doing. Yeah, we've got our hands full. We knew it wasn't going to be easy, but duh. You know, that's just how it is. But when you really believe in something and you've got a really great crew of folks, and we have a team here second to none, besides our liquid getting some great partners that we're making beer with, just worrying about how much you're going to enjoy the ride and how successful are you ultimately going to become.
Is there any fear of getting too big?
Well, you know, Kirby and I each are in our 40th year of the brewing business. So, you know, that's a long time. It doesn't mean that there's a guarantee that you're successful. We're really proud of what we created. This whole brewery here is, you know, we brew a lot of beer in Wisconsin. This brewery is made in our state. Everything you can see in here when you get a chance to visit our brewery was manufactured from our state. And we tip our hat to them. And it's really something seeing people from the trades come in here with your background, with their mom and dad, and go, I did that. I made that. I'm from here. And so those things were kind of fun, and right now the focus is pivoted from 3.5 years in. Okay, we know what we're doing now. This brewery's humming. Let's start making great beers and start working with some really cool partners.
And you guys are on the ground. I mean, when I met you, you were on a forklift, and you're the brewmaster, so you're not suits.
You know, I mean, as soon as this is done, I've got to go cut grain bags open and dump, and I love what I do. And, you know, thinking about when you said success and size, you know, it's size. When we began this place, we had a bit of pushback from people who thought you had to start a brewery in a garage to be legitimate. And no, you don't. It's your philosophy and your intent that counts. And, you know, we built for success. We wanted to build a brewery that would give us the opportunity to not have to worry about building a brew house all the time, that we could focus on brewing great beer instead. And I'll tell you what I think success is. When I come out here on a Friday night, and I see a lot of people out here and their families. You got the grandparents, the wife, the kids, and the dogs running around having a couple glasses of our beer before they go out to a restaurant near of their choice. And I see everyone out there having a great time enjoying our products. That, to me, is success. And I think what we try to do, and our intention is to make beer, is that reflect all the things that we love. And that's basically a product that's very friendly. That's very approachable. I mean, it's got a personality. You know, maybe it might disagree with some people, but for the most part, it's something that will sit down and speak to you, and yet you can enjoy and have a pleasant conversation with it along with your friends.
Talk to us about distribution. Do you primary on site and around Madison, or are you statewide?
No, we're statewide. Our plan is to stay local and hopefully relevant in the state of Wisconsin. We do have a little bit of business in Rockford because it's only 75 miles from here. But, you know, going back to, you know, what Kirby said a little while ago, I really think today to be relevant with a consumer is the word craft is something very interesting to us, to the point where it may suggest that it's local, it may suggest that it's handmade, it may suggest, dare to say, good. We know and feel comfortable enough to say that the beers we want to make need to be good. So we're working hard right now, actually, this may sound corny, but we mean it to the heart, is that we try not to say the word craft. We want to make good beer. And I think consumers today understand beer and two ways. There's beer and there's good beer. Okay, and you drink both. There may be a time you got an 18-pack of PBR, I get that. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of times you're out with your friends, and I'll tell you what, nothing stops you from having a good beer, right? And so I think what good beer really means to me, back to that, is a beer that you can enjoy in moderation and not be afraid to have a couple of them. So they're not just really, you know, way out there high alcohol products, but beer that you can enjoy all the different flavors, all the sensations, all the styles, and enjoy many of them. And that's kind of where we're at.
Do you have a signature beer?
Yeah, the product that's becoming synonymous with Wisconsin Brewing Company is Badger Club, which is a wonderful amber lager. It's kind of a takeoff in a German Oktoberfest style, which is a beloved style for a reason. And we've been having great success with it. It's probably the strongest growing at the craft end of things in the state right now. You know, trying to avoid that word, but still, we are kind of, you know, we're pigeonholed into that. And, you know, we got our man Leroy up there, you know, that proud badger, and people are responding to it. We're very proud of the beer, and I've been drinking tons of it.
You're a brewmaster, so it goes without saying, I would think that you always have this curiosity kind of metal experiment.
There is yeast, there's hops, there's malt, there's percentages of malts, there's adjuncts, there's spices. The only limit on beer is your imagination. And granted, you know, we're in an era where you hear a lot of people screaming, innovation, and that's what counts.
I call that a narcotic.
Yeah. I mean, put it this way. Innovation can come up with some good things and then come up with a lot of junk also. And sometimes I think people add things to beers just for the sake of saying they did something different or it's something unique or I've tried this and you haven't yet.
Do you ever get something in your mind out of curiosity, you know, playing around, experimenting, not knowing where you're going to go?
Oh, yeah. We have this little pilot brewery we call Old Abe. And that's not so much to let's try out a recipe and then take it big. It's to try out ideas. And whether that be doing a traditional beer we haven't done before, or using raw materials, like we did a beer called Majul a couple years ago. It was a Belgian strong ale, and for a sugar source, we used dates. You know, taking the pits off a lot of dates is some work. So I made Mike do it.
Did you mentally visualize and taste the outcome with the dates before you were done?
I really didn't know what to expect. It was still obviously noticeably a Belgian ale, but the date flavor was there, but it was subtle, but it did add a nice dimension to the beer. And the beer, we didn't make that much of it. It was extremely popular. But then we wanted to size it up. You realize that, number one, you're going to have to buy five figures worth of dates. And number two, we'd have McGuire taking pits out of dates for a year. So, you know, that's something that we tried, and it worked out very well, but it's just not practical.
Talk to us about what you're most proud of, what's closest to your heart.
Well, tell you what, it's been since day one. I remember we opened up in 2013, and November 1st, Kirby's birthday.
That's right.
And my wife said the night before, she said, what are you most afraid of? And I said, nobody showing up. And today, what I'm most proud of is listening to people talk about our brewery and our brands and our employees and how they feel at home here and proud of who we are and proud to carry our flag high and seeing people right behind us. If your guests, listeners can't see this, but there's a neat sign and our welcoming people to our backyard and watch people take their picture, getting their picture taken. Every time I see that happen, I get goosebumps, man. It's just crazy stuff. And it's back to we're fortunate and we're living a dream, man. We talk about it all the time. And we've got a lot of hard work in front of us, but, you know, we're not young guys either. We're just turning into our 60s now. And we decided, hey,
physically,
we work, yeah, physically, in our 90s mentally. And we have decided, you know, hey, why not do it ourselves, you know? We always work for other people. We're going to do it ourselves and take the chance and have some fun.
And it's working.
Yep, we're having a blast.
Behind you guys, there's, what, 20, 30 people. Looking at them, my guess is that they're locals. This is the middle of the week and school started.
Right. Well, believe it or not, we've had, I believe it for sure. We're at about 125,000 visitors to our brewery, and we're just 16 miles from New Glarus Brewing Company to our south, and about 45 miles to Wollersheim Winery, very well known to our north on the Wisconsin River. If you get a chance to visit our state, visiting winemakers, cheesemakers, breweries on this side of Madison is spectacular. The topography, unglaciated area, it's spectacular to come see. And you can take it all in. Arts and crafts, everything, man. Everything's fantastic.
Yeah, and besides visiting the breweries and cheesemakers and wineries, there's so many classic little taverns and restaurants in Wisconsin that are, you know, mom-and-pop type operations that are more and more really realizing the type of beer companies such as ours has to offer and are taking them on. So, yeah, road tripping around here is great.
One more nuance, and that has to do with the history of beer in Wisconsin. Historically, it has everything to do with water as a vital ingredient.
And ice.
Well, water was a big part of it. It also was a big part of the fact that, you know, we were located geographically, and we had a lot of Germans come here. And when they started building breweries in Milwaukee, they were bringing their brewing techniques with them, and they had this, you know, this big body of water right next to it where they could get a lot of ice during the winter to provide refrigeration with a port. They could get the raw materials that they needed. And so it was a combination, I think, of, you know, culture coming from Germany to here, and the raw materials that were available and the people that settled.
I was just going to say, he hit on it. Mother Nature was a big piece of it with the ice thing, is that with lagering and needing to store kegs and store beer rather for later consumption in the summer was important. But no, it's neat. Wisconsin is a state where there's hundreds and hundreds of breweries in our state, and their footprint of how far they sold their beer is about as far as they could see standing on top of their tallest building, right? I mean, every little town you drive through today, you can still see where the brewery was, okay? The neat part about it right now is it shrunk to just a handful, and now there's like 140 in our state, and the breweries are opening in every small community. It's really rounding out the culture of who we are, and I think it's a fun thing to watch right now because also I think people that are enjoying locally made good beer, not craft beer, are taking a different angle at enjoying our products in moderation and doing it in a family environment. Like you're looking out here right now, this is very much a family environment. It's just a wonderful thing, and it adds to our culture of our state and I think a great conversation to our guests.
In distribution, are you guys able to deliver everything yourself, or do you have to go through the three-tier system?
More support is a three-tier system. It makes our life a lot easier, quite frankly. You know, the distributor pulls up, and we load a truck full of beer and get paid for it, and they go out and take it to parts known and unknown for all practical, you know.
He knows I want to say something about this. It's a challenge today is that most of the laws that you read about and your listeners are reading about across the country, every state's talking about modernization of the legislation that governs our industry. It's a real important factor to get educated on. Please spend time learning about it and talking to your elected officials about it. Many of the laws today stem from post-prohibition, 1933, and the world has changed. And the thing that I'm most concerned about are startups today, and we're beyond that, I think, knock on wood here. But startup today, that you know, if you're to open up a brewery, there's no necessarily a clear path to your consumer.
If you ruled the world and you could create the laws and you could write them, how would it work?
I tell you what, pretty simple. I think under a certain level of production, there shouldn't be any laws other than paying your tax. And I got to tell you what, federal government's really good at getting their money. Nobody should be fooled by this. They get their money really easily, and we are totally monitored from many different agencies. I think from a startup standpoint, you need to get to a safety net of some level of production. And I'm just going to throw, spitball a number, probably somewhere around 10,000 barrels of annual production.
And anything under that, just
you should be,
leave them alone.
Yeah, because tell you what, you have all the risk front loaded, right? And until you get over that level, there's no knock on the door, you're going to make it. So,
and isn't it true? Soft costs generally can be a deal breaker for a pro forma, for an idea, for a business.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'll tell you what. Right now we're at, 5,500 breweries, and there's like 2,500 breweries in planning. I'm of the camp, I believe there's going to be 20,000.
Wow.
Okay, and the many of them are going to be very small. Okay, matter of fact, I think, and to that point, I think maybe most of them, if not 90%, will be, their business plan is under 1,000 barrels a year.
Be on-site sales.
On-site sales will be critical, and if they hit a home run brand, they'll look for a distributor. But I don't think that you over-regulate these guys to the point where right now it's really unfair. And with the risk they're taking today, what I think back to it is putting some level heads together, thinking about modernization. You mentioned earlier, where are you from again? You said
I live in
California.
San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, you live in San Luis Obispo. Cool place. I used to live in Orange in Southern California, right? So you and I open up a brewery, okay, in your hometown, and you got a consumer that's sitting down in San Diego that wants your beer, or our beer, right? And a distributor has no interest in us because we're so small. Somehow we got to be able to make that happen. And the three-tier system and all that stuff needs to respect that because we have all the risks. Someday the system itself works great when you're bigger, but it's a challenging when you're a small guy. That's all I'm saying.
Don't you think things are coming to a head and things are going to change sooner than later?
I really do, because if you think about the changes that are occurring, even though interest groups have different points of view on this, there's been more positive effort to really approach this problem from a broader perspective in the last 3 or 4 years than ever before. The remedies aren't there yet, but it's on its way. And I think who's going to make the changes, really, it shouldn't be the three-tier system. It should be the consumer. The consumer, you out there that are drinking beer, should be able to say, hey, I want my bottle of beer, my bottle of wine, whatever it is. I don't care where it came from, or how it got to me, but I want to be able to get it. So, but
wouldn't it also be independent breweries themselves working together?
I think they are, and I think I respect, like Kirby started out, I respect the three-tier system too. Don't get me wrong. I tell you what, we'll always have a distributor. You saw me, like you said earlier, he's brewing beer, I'm on a forklift. We're not driving beer trucks. We're beyond that, okay? Right. We need somebody to drive the beer truck, and we need a retailer that wants to pour a beer over on tap or whatever it might be. I'm just saying that thing that I'm concerned with is that the antiquated laws today are tilted in such a way that it makes a entrepreneur challenge to start up, and all the investments in the little guy starting.
Yeah, really? You want to make a great again? I'm having trouble talking. If you notice that, I got my mind on too many things. Anyways, if you really want to make America great, encourage entrepreneurialism. Don't put up barriers that discourage people from following their dream.
Simple as that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, let's see. I've got a cool going on. I got to go mill grain. I got my mind on too many things. Kirby Nelson, Brewmaster Wisconsin Brewery, signing off. Over.
Thanks, Kirby.
Yeah, and I'm Carl Nolan, president of the Wisconsin Brewing Company. Please visit our website and come join us. And if you get by this side of the neck of the woods, as they say, love to have you as a guest.
Thanks so much for sharing. This has been great.
You're welcome. You're welcome, and thank you so much.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
We'll have a barrel of fun. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansas Songs on NPR affiliate KUAR. Sing a song of good cheer, 'cause the whole gang is here.